One of our favorite family stories about our son Jonathan goes back to when Susan was pregnant with James, who is now almost 32, and little Bud was 4. And since at the time Mommy had a baby in her tummy, John was certain he had a puppy in his tummy. Because he told us in all earnestness, he could hear it barking, which was our cue for our first birds and bees talk with John. Dogs have puppies. Mommies have babies. That was sufficient for him at the time. God has indeed fashioned all of creation in such a way that a created thing, which is what everything is, a created thing can only reproduce what it is. As it says repeatedly in Genesis chapter 1, each producing offspring of the same kind, or each according to its kind. Alarmingly, this applies to far more than plants and animals and children. Our lives can only produce what we actually are, as opposed to what we think or say we are. And scarier still, what our lives do produce reveals to ourselves and to all the world what we actually are, as opposed to what we think and say and claim we are. So our reading this morning from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 6, 43 through 45. This is the word of the Lord. A good tree can't produce bad fruit. And a bad tree can't produce good fruit. A tree is identified by its fruit. Figs are never gathered from thorn bushes, and grapes are not picked from bramble bushes. A good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart, and an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. What you say flows from what is in your heart. Word of the Lord. Now, throughout his ministry, Jesus insists that the truth of God is revealed in and through the natural world that he himself created. And that same natural world also reveals the truth about us. This passage is not about olive or fig or fruit trees. It's about human lives. What is true about trees, for instance, illustrates what is true about us. Now, I've left some space in your... Oh, Garrett's a happy boy today. Left some space in your note sheets if you want to illustrate what God might be saying to you this morning about your tree, which is your life and the fruit that your life produces. I'll let you know when to draw what. And throughout this sermon this morning, I'm going to be referring to apple trees as our exemplar of fruit trees, just because I know the most about them. So first, some principles from Jesus' words here. Principle number one, a tree conforms to its nature. No one will ever pick a banana off an apple tree, or a grape from a bramble bush, or a puppy out of a boy's tummy. It's not going to happen. Second principle, a tree's quality is revealed by what comes out of it. A wild apple tree looks exactly like a cultivated apple tree. Same shape, same bark, leaves, same looking apples. Only the fruit that it produces tells you the difference. We who call ourselves Christians all may appear pretty much alike, but according to Jesus, we are distinguished. We are separated from one another by the results of our lives. The third principle is good news indeed. Any bad tree can become a good one. Because every good tree started out bad. But by the grace of God, we are given the opportunity to cooperate with Him, applying ourselves to the lifelong task, which is His task, of turning this bad tree into His good tree, which will then, by His nature engrafted into me and my life, will produce His good fruit. So how do we do our part, our work, so God can do His in us? Not surprisingly, Scripture has several suggestions for us, some of which are absolutely, most of which, I guess, are indispensable. We've got to do all these. First of all, get rooted. Here you can start drawing if you want, with a tree, but make sure you leave room for leaves and fruit around it. Now, whether a fruit tree starts from a seed or from a cutting, in its earliest years, that sapling has to be supported. It's got to be staked up until it is strong enough to stand on its own. New believers, at first especially, need support, encouragement, help from others. They need to be propped up until they eventually grow stable and strong enough to stand on their own. The environment has to be healthy and conducive to growth. A young fruit tree out in the middle of the Sahara Desert alone is not going to make it, never mind flourish. Nor if it's crammed into the middle of a dense forest, getting crowded out and shaded over by so many older, bigger trees. Christians cannot and will not produce the kind of fruit God is after either way. Out there on our own, can't be done. Overshadowed and snuffed out by too many other bigger, stronger Christians, won't happen. pollination. An apple tree, I think this is so amazing, requires cross-pollination from another variety of apple in order to bear fruit. There are a couple of exceptions to that, but even those exceptions do way better when they are cross-pollinated. We need each other to grow God's way. It's part of a good environment. Provender, this is just an old word for nourishment, but since it starts with a P, of course, that's why I used it. In the ancient world of Jesus' day, there were two sources for fertilizer. I'll bet you can figure out what they are. Who were? Waste material and dead stuff. When God shows me something bad in my tree, there's my fertilizer. It's right there, inside of me already, prepackaged. I die to that, and that death of a piece of me becomes fertilizer to nourish the growth of Christ's life within me. Let's take a few moments, pause, and illustrate your tree, or if you're in your head, how's it looking? We want to grow healthy. Fruit trees attract pests. Birds and bugs mostly. We have a neighbor of ours who covers her pear trees and apple trees with like this gauze to keep the birds and the bugs away from it. Because the pests will hinder that tree's ability to bear good fruit. We also attract pests. Bugs, which, if left unaddressed, will stunt our growth. So, what bugs you? The reason it bugs you is that it conflicts with the life of Christ inside of you. Even one little bug makes very good fertilizer. Rot. Diseases like fungus, mold, and mildew can attack, weaken, and even kill a tree. Those kinds of things tend to grow where it's damp, dark, and hidden away from the sunlight. You want a tree on the north side? There are all kinds of rot that will grow inside a Christian who avoids the light of God shining into the dark places. Pride, envy, greed, unconfessed sin, disobedience, unforgiveness, just to name a few of the most deadly. Weeds. Grass, shrubs, and other small trees growing around the base of an apple tree will rob it of nutrients and water. But even once we as Christians get growing, becoming more stable and more secure in our faith, weeds will continuously pop up in our lives, and those weeds will compete with God's life inside of us. Jesus pointed specifically to things like the worries of this life. The deceitfulness of riches. Dangerous weeds indeed, even for growing believers. So, continue filling out the tree of your life, either in your mind or in your notes. The whole point, of course, God's whole point, is that we bear fruit. What a wonderful blessing it is that we can just go out and buy fruit. It's great. But we imagine that we can do the same with God's fruit. We can just go get it. But there are three activities of God where He is the active participant in our lives, and each one of these hurts, by the way. Three activities of God which require our cooperation through obedience and trust for them to do their job. First one is pruning. We have some raspberry bushes in our backyard, and last spring, you know, raspberry bushes are crazy, they're ugly, they're all over the place. So I went out and I hacked those suckers down to like that. And I thought, I probably killed them. We are still eating raspberries from that crop. It exploded. Jesus says, I am the true grapevine, raspberry bush, if you will. My Father is the gardener. He's the one that takes care of the vine. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit. And He prunes the branches that do bear fruit, so they will produce even more. Clipping off the branches furthest from the trunk of the tree or vine redirects more nutrients and water, produces sweeter fruit. God never stops doing this in us. Even after we have begun producing good fruit, He's not satisfied with that. It's not enough. He prunes us again to get even more and even sweeter and even better fruit. And as painful as that can be and is, we should never forget who is getting the most blessing out of that process. Difficult as it can be. Maintaining. Paul says, we must hold on to the progress we have already made. All of this work has to be kept up constantly. God is going to keep it up, no worries there. But we have to do our part as well, all the time. Nourishing, fertilizing, cross-pollinating, watching out for bugs and rot and weeds, and submitting in all of it to the gardener's wisdom and love, and directing the process. And the single most indispensable and most often neglected ingredient in producing fruit, time. It requires daily life, working with God every day, paying attention to the details to bear God's fruit. The result is in the taste. As Jesus says, what you say flows from what is in your heart. So whenever you say something that you wish you hadn't said, and then you say, I didn't mean to say that, you did. According to Jesus, more than any other single indicator, our speech reveals what is really being produced in our lives and how much more work of God needs to be done. So how's your speech tasting these days? Yeah, mine too. But we close with this wonderful word of encouragement from the Apostle Paul, who was subjected to exactly the same process. And he says, work hard to show the results of your salvation. See the tension there, the dynamic. Work hard. God's doing his work. He has saved us. Work hard to show the results of God's salvation. Obeying God with deep reverence and fear. For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. So where in your tree of life this morning, of God's life in you, where do you need to continue, or maybe start again, the hard work of producing good fruit, submitting to pruning, doing all that we can in our lives to create an environment conducive to what God wants. As we come to the table of the Lord this morning, this is where we surrender ourselves again to his work. His sacrifice for us, whereby we see our worth and our value to him fixed for all eternity. That's how much God values us. And at the same time, that cross was necessary because of our unworthiness. See, we live by faith, not by sight. We live by what we believe God has done for us in Christ, not by what we see or don't see in our own lives. So we come to the table confessing our need, acknowledging and receiving again our provision through the death of Christ, whereby his life infuses, invades, saturates ours.